In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord said in the Gospel, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What does it mean to deny yourself in this context? It means that you have to get off the throne of your heart and allow Christ to take his place there. He's the rightful king of your life. And you have been the king of your life, and you need to let him take over. The goal is to follow Christ, and the means that we attain to that goal is to deny yourself and to take up your cross. And so in order to follow Christ, anything that you desire to do that leads you away from Christ, you have to refuse to do. You have to give those things up. And if there's anything that you need to do, because otherwise you'd fail to follow Christ, then you have to do it regardless of whether you want to or not. And this might seem like such an obvious point that it's hardly worth making, but you can see the difference between the true Church of Christ and the many false churches that are out there by judging them on this precise question. Does the church urge you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ in your life, even when it's hard and when it's difficult? The difference has become wider and wider as time has gone on. And in my lifetime, I've seen what used to be sort of the old-fashioned Protestants go from what they once were, which was still far from orthodoxy, but at least you could see there was some piety, some sense, you know, they had a very strong sense of morality. You had good, decent people that went to these churches. And you still do in many churches. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. But what happened was, particularly beginning in the 70s, you had people who were from what's known as the church growth movement that basically decided to take Madison Avenue marketing to the church. And basically their approach to how do you grow a church is find out what people want and then give it to them. So if people want rock bands in church, that's what you give them. If people want a Starbucks in the lounge, then you give them the Starbucks. If they want a bowling alley, you give them a bowling alley. You basically give them whatever they want. You make the church a place that they want to go to because they can have all the stuff that they want. And you can see the results of that today as a lot of these denominations have lost any sense of Christian morality. Christian morality was one thing that you could say, with very rare exceptions, all Christians of any stripe had in common. Maybe on some subtle points we might have some differences, but for the most part, when you were talking about Christian morality, everybody knew what you were talking about. And that wasn't something that was an arguing point between different types of Christians, but that's no longer true. And these churches that have gone down this road of giving people what they want have started watering down their doctrinal statements. They don't want to talk about things like sin. And people go to these churches and don't even realize in many cases that they're living lives that are totally contrary to the Christian faith because nobody is telling them. And maybe some of the people who are leading these churches just assume everybody know these things because when they were kids, they were taught the Bible when they went to church. They were taught Christian morality, but they're not teaching it. So how do they expect future generations to get it? Well, they're not. And I think God is using this to make it clearer to people what the differences are and where the true church is. And he's leading many people to the Orthodox Church as a result of that. Because if you really desire to follow Christ, you have a sense that that entails you doing something and responding to Christ in a way that's difficult. If you read the Gospels, you certainly don't get the idea that Christ ever thought to himself, what do people want and how can I give it to them? You don't find that in the Gospels anywhere. In the Sermon on the Mount, Christ said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And that's the traditional King James translation, and when you hear the word strait, you probably assume that it's got a G-H in there because that's how we spell it in English when we're talking about a straight line. But there's actually a word which we still use, but not as much as people used to. But if you think about the Strait of Gibraltar, the Strait of Gibraltar is the narrow part from the Mediterranean Sea that leads you into the Atlantic Ocean. When you're in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea and you're sailing a boat, you don't have to worry about things like rocks or shores because you're far away from those things. But the Strait of Gibraltar is that narrow point where you're passing and you can see, you know, one continent on one side, one continent on the other, and you have to actually be careful about where you're going. So that's what it's talking about. You could translate this as narrow is the gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, but narrow is the gate, and you could say difficult is the way. In the King James, they translate the second word as narrow, because these words are similar, but the second word that's translated as narrow has a little bit stronger meaning. It could actually be used for squeezing a grape. So if you were that grape and you were being squeezed, that gives you some idea of what it means to be a Christian. God is trying to squeeze you to get you to produce the kind of fruit that you need to produce. And that's the way that leads to life. And giving people what they want, or going to a church where people are giving you what you want, is that broad path that Christ is talking about that leads to destruction. And so the Orthodox way is not the easy way. Madison Avenue would never have come up with fasting half of the year. Madison Avenue would never have churches without pews. They wouldn't even have pews these days. They'd have comfy chairs where you had a cup holder and you could kick it up when you wanted to, just like in the modern theaters that they have. You wouldn't have long services. They wouldn't talk about giving alms. They would talk about getting rich, having your best life now, to name a book that's popular in a particular church in the Houston area. Humility, obedience, serving others. To be a Christian is to take the difficult way, is to do the things that you don't want to do because you are trying to follow Christ. And Christ, he bore the cross for our salvation. He didn't take the easy way. The easy way would have been to say, hey, these people are lost, I'm out of here. But he took the difficult way because he loved us so much that he gave his life so that we could live. That's the Christian way, and if you want to follow Christ, that's the way that it is. The straight and narrow way is the difficult way. It's not the easy way. It's not the way that's the most popular, and it's certainly not the way that worldly people are going to look at and admire or say, aren't those people cool that do those things? But it's the way of the cross, and it's the only way that you can follow Christ. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Amen.